Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
I'd like to introduce you to my next guest. Female entrepreneur, 7th degree black belt, world champion, and CEO of Skills Worldwide. Her curriculum is represented in over 1,000 martial arts schools in 25 countries. The leading innovator in children's martial arts education, she is Melody Johnson. Hi, Melody, and welcome to Think About It Season 2. I'm really excited to have you on my show, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I always start our show with kind of getting to know our guest and a little bit of where they grew up, you know, kind of the lead up to our main conversation. And one of my, you know, favorite things to do about the show is get to know people. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, where you grew up?
Well, I grew up in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, when I was younger, I was really small for my age. So growing up, I always got picked on and bullied. Mm-hmm. One of my most vivid memories was when I was in the fifth grade. I was in middle school, so excited, and I walk into the class and I see the cool girls sitting on the desks and they go, who let the kindergartner in? And I was like, there's a kindergartner? Yeah. And looking around and realized they were talking about me. Yeah. And it was one of those moments where it just, it crushed me. And at the same time, it motivated me to want to find my own identity. Unfortunately, with getting bullied, I kind of bullied back to, yeah, you know, the same girl. I pulled her chair one day when she went to sit down and mm-hmm. she fell and I got in trouble. And that led my parents to putting me into martial arts to teach me discipline.
Yeah.
And at first, I really didn't like the martial arts. It was mostly adults in class. This was back in 1987.
Yeah.
We used to call them the dungeon dojo days. Mm-hmm. And it was mostly boys, mostly adults, and it wasn't really my jam. And it wasn't until, but green belt level, which is mid-level, when you start sparring. My very first sparring match was against the bully in class. This kid was bullying me and bullying my brother. Mm-hmm. And I kicked him really hard in the head on the match. And I look over at my mother, who's usually sitting there with her arms folded. Mm-hmm. And she jumped up and she screamed, yes! Wow. And then my instructor said, 2 points, kick to the head. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute, I can kick boys in the head. And not only does my mom not get mad about it, but I'm getting points. This is the coolest sport ever.
Can you just tell me a little bit more about your program and the expectation level that you try to explain to people so they are more prepared when they're coming into the program?
When I first started my career in martial arts, it was usually kids started at the age of 7, and then the children's class was like 7 to 12, and then 13-year-olds went to the adult class. And I noticed that I was teaching roller coaster classes. So if the drill or the activity we're doing is challenging enough for the 12-year-old, the 7-year-old can't keep up because it's way beyond their stage of development. Yeah. So then I would make the next drill a little easier, but then the 12-year-old was getting bored. And we were losing students mid-level. And it was interesting when we asked, why are you leaving? The 12-year-olds were leaving because they lost interest. The 7-year-olds were leaving because it was getting too hard, and it was at the same belt level. Yeah. So I knew that we were missing something. So I started to split them up by age instead of by rank. And when I did that, I was still teaching the same curriculum, and it didn't dawn on me until I started studying their stage of development. For example, a 3- and 4-year-old has a hard time processing beyond 3 commands, but yet we were trying to teach them these patterns of moves, and it just wasn't working. So when I understood that, then I wrote out and 3 and 4 year olds, this is what you should expect, this is what you shouldn't expect. Mm-hmm. Then the same thing for 5 and 6, then 7 to 9, then 10 to 14 year olds, because parents were starting to compare the kids in class. Well, my 7 year old doesn't look as good as that 12 year old, so he's not going to test. And it's like, they don't have fine motor skills yet at 7 years old. They're learning how to write their name in cursive for the first time. Yeah. So a good analogy would be a 7 year old's handwriting in cursive is not going to look as good as a 12 year old's. Yeah. Handwriting and cursive. So the same thing in martial arts with technique, you shouldn't have those expectations. My son started flag football a year ago, and his coach, the way that he was talking to the kids, it was like you're talking to them like they're teenagers and they're not. Mm-hmm. So his expectations were off the mark. And it was so painful to watch, as an expert in child development, watch my son do it. And Van would make up excuses on why he couldn't play. He had a belly ache. And I think he did have a belly ache. Like, he was so nervous. Stress, it was making the stress. And he didn't want to play. So I said, that's it. I'm going to take over and I'm going to coach next year or your next season. And you invite all your friends and we're going to do it differently. And we're called the Ninjas, and we're in our third season, and we've made it to the championships every season. And it's not because I recruited the best kids. It was that I knew what the expectations were for them and I'm coaching them accordingly. And they're having so much fun that they're playing at their best.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your transition from sport into the child, or was it kind of coming hand in hand with the child development?
Well, so yeah, when I was in my mid 20s, I started maturing and realized that the way that I was teaching with the push-ups and really just focusing on the competitors, we had a bunch of world champions, and ignoring the other kids was not serving my purpose anymore. I started wanting to help children become the best version of themselves. So I started studying child development and realized that everything that we were taught as far as working with children, we were taught in a way that was very authoritative, and I think it's wrong. And so as I started integrating child development into the skills program, we ended up rebranding, and we say that we're not a martial arts curriculum. Mm-hmm. We're a child development company that uses martial arts as the vehicle to help children become the best version of themselves physically, intellectually, emotionally, and socially. And those two are important, because a lot of sports and activities focus on what you physically can do and intellectually, you know, what you're capable of in the game, but you don't teach them how to emotionally help themselves and how to emotionally grow and socially grow too through it. As I said, I took over my son's football team, and we were in first place, and we've gotten to the championships, and it's because we're using those philosophies in the game. And it's interesting, because all the parents come up to us and say the kids love the practice. They can't wait to go to practice. They can't wait to play. Where at the same time, one of the parents on my team, her neighbor's on another team, and says he can't stand it. He doesn't like the coach. She doesn't like the coach. And it's so stressful. And it's a shame. You know, so this poor kid's not going to have a good experience, and he probably won't play next season. And he's a cute kid. And we played against him last week, and he was a good kid. Yeah. So many coaches get it wrong, and they're doing a disservice to children who, a lot of them potentially could be an NFL player or a famous tennis star if they were able to teach them according to the way they learn and grow in a more positive manner.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at New Balance.
I've been just going through a process of getting my son into school, and what was very important for me as a parent is to understand that what is most important for them is academics, right? But for me, the social skill, the emotional support, that's what's going to make them better in academics. How was that for you? Because you are a child development expert. So you are basically trusting your kid to go into a school that they're going to teach him certain things.
Yes. I was fortunate to own a martial arts school in my town before my son was born. Yeah. And then when Van was born, I sold my school to the manager. But I heard the good, the bad, the ugly from all of the schools in the area. And I knew which school I was putting my son in before he was even born. Mm-hmm. For Van, it was very important to get him in a school that I knew was going to fit. He's very introverted. But he's also very competitive and he hates the lose,
yeah.
You know, and the school nurtures his nature and he's flourishing so much. Yeah. So yes, that is 100% top priority for us.
Yeah. That's kind of like in a moment that I'm looking forward to, because he's been going to school and he's been traveling. And I thought that that's such an amazing thing for a kid to be able to experience and understand that there is a very different world mm-hmm. everywhere. He's a bit shy, but he will go out there and he will talk and he doesn't really care if they don't understand him. He will adapt and try to just learn. And one of the things that gets me to think, like, if he starts just going to school and kind of in the same routine without as much travel, will he still be that open and right. still, like, you know, kind of understand there is a different world? No matter what, he's gonna be okay. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like, you know, I'm a stressful parent. That was one of kind of my worries for him to start to school. I'm ready for it. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not the type of parent like, oh no, he's going to be growing up too fast. I'm excited to see him be whoever he is. How is it for you, like, what's your mentality of seeing your child develop and growing into his own human?
That's a great question, because I've been in martial arts all my life, and it's a passion of mine, and I've made so many great relationships with children that they started when they were 3 years old, and now they're in their 20s and 30s, and they still call me Master Melody, and we have such a great, you know, connection. And everybody's always asking, is Van going to get into martial arts? Mm-hmm. And it's not his jam. I've tried three times to bring him to On the Mat with the kids that are now adults and are teaching, and he does not like it. And I did say at one point it's mandatory when he's 7, because this is so good for him. And he just turned 7, and he's not. And I've changed my mindset on it, because his passion is football, and his passion is soccer. So I'm going to... I told him, you have to be in a sport, because as you and I just said, sports are so important for kids. So I want him to be in a sport, and as long as he's in a sport, that's the most important thing. But it's interesting because, again, going back to football, he comes home every single day, puts his backpack on, goes in his room and puts on his football clothes and says, let's go, mommy. And we go out in the front yard and we play football every single day. And some parents, you know, want their kids to be great football players. They say, hey, you have to go outside. We need to go practice. It's, you know, and they make them. Where Van wants to do it so much. And I see that part of me in him where, you know, I always wanted to train in martial arts and it wasn't by force. So I love that part, and I love him finding his own path, though, with football and with soccer. So it's very exciting.
It is the same. It's great that you're talking, you know, about adapting. Like, you adapted, okay, well, that's what you want to do. I'm going to coach the football team because you felt the need to be there because of the circumstances. And I think that's really cool. For me, it was with Leo, it was about exposing him to as many things as I can, because that's... It's also a little bit that I didn't really have as a kid. My parents did the best they could, but they couldn't afford to have me try horseback riding and golf. And like, it was just not existent. And I made the point of tennis. I don't want to be like, okay, let's go play tennis. Mm-hmm. I want him to ask me to play tennis. Or if he goes to play tennis, it can be with somebody else. So it's not like I'm, you know, forcing that on him. And playing, like, I try to be very careful. I'll be around.
Does he
play tennis? He plays tennis, and he likes it. Okay. And he asks, like, okay, let's go play tennis. And they're like, okay, let's play tennis. He will play with, like, my coaches and stuff. And I was like, okay, mama, can you just be my coach? I was like, okay, I'm going to stay on your side and be your coach. That's a conscious decision, because would I like him to play tennis? Yes, absolutely. But same time, struggling with, like, what it takes, that road, you know, where health with sport has to be all healthy, and then now you're like, okay, well, tennis is one thing, and so you look at football, you look at hockey, and you look, and I look at like all the injuries and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, for football, like it's a bit scary.
Well, he's only doing flag.
Yeah,
so that's what. If you want to continue when there's pads, you can be the kicker, but that's it.
Yeah. that's
no offense to the kickers.
Yes, it was. It's a tough one. It's a tough one because it's like flag football is. It's great. Like it's such a, I love football, but when it starts to get hits, yes, and stuff, I was like, these guys, this big grown man, they have moms, they have dads. Those parents are very brave, yeah, because I don't know.
I would cry five times a game, every game, every time I saw Van injured on the ground. I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Yeah, it's. I think it's tough. I mean, I traveled by myself when I was 10 years old to United States. And somebody asked me, like, would you ever let Leo do that? I said, absolutely no. Like, hell no. There's just no way. I mean, different times and stuff, but the same time, like, I was like, Mom, how are you okay with that? Like, just me going, like...
How old were you?
I was 10 years old.
10 years old 10 by years yourself? Old.
Yeah. Wow. I had somebody meet me there, but it's still, like, the whole experience, you're like, you know, it made me grow up so quickly. Sure. Are you drawing back a lot from your own experience of how you parent and how you approach?
Oh yes. Yes. I had a very strict mother. She did the best that she could, but I lived in fear, and I don't have good memories of my childhood, and she wasn't very loving or nurturing. So when Van was born, I actually wrote a curriculum for myself called Parent Skills lessons for me to do to be the best parent that I can be and continually improve upon those skills. And yeah, with Van, I don't want him to grow up quickly. Mm-hmm. I want him to stay a little boy forever, and I want him 10 years from now or 15, 20 years from now to look back and say, I had the greatest childhood ever. And I'm so lucky. And that's my priority right now. More than the academics, more than winning a championship in sports. I just want him to have great memories of his childhood. Because when you talk to certain, or you read books about entrepreneurs or professionals, in particular athletes, and you say, what are some of your regrets? And a lot of them always say they regret that they didn't have more of a childhood. Mm-hmm. So I want Van to have that wonderful childhood. Mm-hmm. And I love that you take your son all around the world. And I can't wait to do that. You know, with COVID, we haven't been able to travel. Yeah. But I do travel the world, and I do seminars and stuff. So I'm very excited to get him doing that. He's addicted to first class. We just took him to Aspen, and he didn't want to eat at the airport in our layover because he said he wants to eat on the plane. And it wasn't the food's not even good. Terrible. It's just the idea that he's getting served on the plane is so funny.
I took my son for skiing in December the first time. He's like, yeah, I want to go skiing, Mom. He's like, I want to go skiing. And he was very consistent on it. Like, it's, you know, sometimes kids say, like, okay, I want this. Yeah. And then, like, okay, in 3 weeks is a different thing, mm-hmm, and it's a different thing. So he was very, very consistent throughout the whole year. And I was like, okay, Leo, in July, I said, we are going to ski then. He's like, okay, I can't wait, Mommy, I can't wait. I had somebody, we got a teacher. I was like, I'm not teaching you how to ski. I have no idea how to ski. Like I need somebody to hold me off the lift because I'm so careful. Like, I'm such a careful person, and I'm still playing. I'm like, the adrenaline is not worth it for me to, you know, mm-hmm, to fall, yes, or whatever. So I'm like, okay, I enjoy it at my pace. So I'm not teaching you. Like, we'll get you somebody to teach you. So he, after like the first day, he wanted to go on the blue already. Wow. And he went on the blue like after 3 days.
At six.
Yeah.
Wow.
At five.
At five.
Yeah. He wasn't even, he turned five in December. So he was four.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm not going there with you. I'll just stay on this green with us. So you guys have fun. And he came, and in the end of the trip, I asked him, Leo, what was your favorite thing to do? Like, what was your favorite thing about the trip? And he told me it was falling. And I was like, I love that. I love that because, like, it was fun falling. He's like, I fall, I get up, and I go again and stuff. And I was like, that's great.
Totally different experience with my son. He fell one time, was like, that's it, I'm off. Get these boots off of me. And we went tubing, and then he almost fell in the tube. He's like, that's it, I'm done with that. All he wanted to do was play in the snow.
Yeah, but it was like, again, it was like life lessons. Like, you know, he's, to me, he's like, okay, it was falling. The kid loved to fall, yes, not like to hurt himself, but he like, I just get up and I go again. Like I go super fast and I fall, but I go again. And it was again, these moments like are, like I look back, I'm like, oh my God, he's teaching me
he's
so
above
much.
His emotional stage of development.
Yeah.
Because he can fall and get back up. And his physical stage of development to be able to be at that level at such a young age. So yeah. There you go.
Well, when we were going to school and interviewing the schools, because he's going to Russian school. So I wanted him to learn Russian language. So because if he doesn't learn now, there's no chance for him to learn later. And he's learned completely different alphabet and stuff. So when they were doing the testing, like, oh, yeah, well, he needs to get a little bit of reading. I'm like, he's way above the age, mm-hmm. you know, like he's done so many things that I'm not worried at all. Like he's going to learn it. It's in kindergarten. It's not going to be a problem. But his dad was like, okay, well, you know, he needs to know how to read. All the kids maybe know how to read. I said, he knows how to read. He just knows how to read in a different language, mm-hmm. which is a pretty amazing skill, actually, yes. I'll have to say. But that, you know, that contrast of mentality, it's so noted. I don't really comment on it because I understand it's just a different way we grew up. But you can tell, like, the contrast of the way people approach parenting, again, coaching, mm-hmm. in every aspect. And I hope, like, again, it's just this type of conversation spark, even if it's one person, that's going to make one kid's life
for sure,
hopefully better.
For sure, yes. That's my vision of moving forward is to continually spread the message of how important it is to understand children in a very psychological and scientific way, because if more people did the homework, the world would change. It would be a better place. And
that, it's up to us to change.
It is.
Right?
It's up to us. And it's exciting but scary at the same time, yeah. because when somebody's not interested in doing that or disagrees, it's very frustrating for me.
Very close-minded, yes. right? Like yes. That's what it's like. I think the most frustrating part is the close-mindedness of people is to just be stuck on kind of one thing. How different was or your experience been with different cultures to implement the curriculum and the way of training martial
arts? It's interesting because most of my international schools embrace the program more so than schools in the United States.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that.
So the UK, some of my favorite schoolers, but Germany, we have some of the most enthusiastic schools, instructors in Germany that love the program. They're on every webinar, Zoom mm-hmm. meeting, and they ask all the great questions and they send all the great feedback. So yeah. It is interesting how international clients really embrace this concept faster than here, yeah. you know, because we have so many different cultures, you know, in the United States, and also we have so many different mindsets, you know,
yeah,
politically,
very different mindsets.
You know, politically, and if you're on this side, then you, no matter what you say on this side, they're not going to listen to it. So that's always fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I love working with the international culture too and seeing them embrace it.
You know, I'm very grateful that people like you exist and you're sharing your knowledge and you know, trying to make a difference and making a difference. And actually, my Leo's one trophy for now is from martial arts. He's doing karate.
I saw that. He has my little ninja uniform. That's,
yes.
That was the first program I created, the black uniform with the white.
Yeah, so he's loving it. He's excited to get he's very, very, like, super competitive. And every time he gets, you know, the new
stripe,
new belt, graduation, it's very exciting for him. So he'll start like doing all his little stuff.
I'd love to meet him and work
with
him. That would be so much fun.
That would be amazing. Exactly. Like, I've had friends who are in Thai boxing and different types of martial art. And one thing that I've realized is their humbleness off the carpet or off the ring. And the way that they used their sport to let a lot of the build up like emotions, frustrations on there, and they're very, very different off court. One in particular was Gennady Golovkin. When I spoke to him about like how he, you know, how he got into boxing and stuff, it's not the same stories. It's very different stories, but there's a similar concept to each one. Is that like, why did they do that? Mm-hmm. Why did they? And it was very interesting to see, because he's such a like, you know, calm, smiley, and like, and he told me like, when I go in the ring, I want to kill. And I was like, you're so sweet. Like, I can't even believe that. Like, I can't even imagine that. But he said, that's my outlet of that. And I think everybody have personal things that they deal with, challenges, etc., to give the outlet to people. I think it's very vital. And I think what you're doing is really great. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for our conversation. I hope this conversation, you know, sparks somebody's, you know, mindset, opens a mindset, and helps other people and kids.
Yes, yes. Sports should be utilized to help children become, as I mentioned, a better version of themselves, yeah. Not used to for parents to live through their kids or used to make a big accomplishments. And if that happens, there's going to be a lot more athletes, a lot more kids who grow up competing in all these different sports.
Melody, I have this segment every show. I ask 7 questions to kind of get to know you a little bit even better. Mm-hmm. So, are you okay with doing that?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. So what is your favorite word?
My favorite word, resiliency.
Resiliency. What is your least favorite word?
Hate.
Hate. Okay. What is one job besides your own you would like to do?
Wow. So definitely would do something still in the child development field, but in other sports. And, you know, I always wanted to be in television. So yeah. Maybe something that had to do with educating in child development with sports in the television industry or something.
Well, hopefully
like that.
This podcast will be your first episode of teaching.
That would be great. That's awesome.
What is one profession you would never want to do?
I would never want to be an ER doctor in a children's hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
I would not be able to see kids suffer and be in pain, even though they save lives to me, but my heart is not not strong enough for that.
Yeah, that's the first one I've heard. A lot of it's lawyer or accountant and stuff.
Those two.
Those two, yeah. What is one quality that attracts you from people?
People who like to play.
Play.
Yeah, we play. My friends, when they come over, they play. When my son's friends come over, we play. I'm a playful person. So anybody who wants to play, you play tennis. Yeah. You know,
That's awesome. What is one quality that kind of turns you off of people?
Bullies, or especially adults who are mean to kids. That frustrates me.
Mm-hmm. And last question is, let's say if God existed and you arrive at the pearly gate, what would you like God to tell you?
Well, I'd like for him to hand me a glass of his red wine, because, you know.
That's what everybody says.
And him say, you're not done yet. And then I become an angel, because I feel like there is a higher power watching over me. And a lot of the things I've wanted to do, I've manifested through hard work. But then I would like to return the favor and do the same thing. So him saying, you're not done yet.
Okay.
Going, let's go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We finish my wine first.
That's perfect. Well, that's wrapped it up. Thank you for answering those questions. Those are always quite fun for me to hear the answers. It paints an even better picture. So thank you for doing
thank
it.
You.
Thank you so much, Melody.
Thank you for having
being on Think About It. And I can't wait for people to see this episode.
Thank you for having me. Mm-hmm.